Let's open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing it is to be able to study the Word of God, to be able to look into these Psalms, and how encouraging it is for us, Lord, to draw close to you in the matter of prayer and in the matter of coming to you and confessing to you our sins and confessing to you our failures and knowing that you are just and you are faithful because of your loving kindness, Lord, through Jesus Christ. You provide cleansing for our sins. And then, Lord, we just thank you, God, for defending us, Lord, and being our advocate. And so, Father, I pray your hand of blessing upon these lessons, Lord, today as we look at Psalm number 58 and number 59, that you would have your will and way in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. So, pinagpapatuloy natin ang pag-aaral ng Psalms, and we're now in Psalm number 58 and also Psalm number 59. And these two Psalms are very similar in that they are yung tinatawag nating imprecatory Psalms. Imprecatory Psalms. So, ang ibig sabihin ng imprecatory ay curses or sumpa. And so David, you got to remember, David was a military leader. He was a king. And although Psalm number 59 was early, he didn't have a kingdom yet, but he appeals to God as the Lord of hosts and talking about the army of angels. And he appeals to God for deliverance and protection against his enemies. And so we don't, you know, the principle that we need to realize is that God is a God who fights for us. God is a God of vengeance. We don't take vengeance upon our own hands. You may want to, you may feel like it at times. But you have to turn this over to the Lord and leave it in the hands of God and allow God to do the work that we cannot do. And trusting in Him, we express our concern to Him in prayer. And so did David. So David was being chased, was being hounded by King Saul. You remember David was celebrated as the champion who defeated Goliath, and then all of a sudden things turned around when Saul became jealous over David. And what did David do? Well, when Saul went after him, David turned to the Lord and asked the Lord for vengeance. So David did not take it upon himself to execute Saul. And how many times could David could have done that? But instead of doing that, David trusted in the Lord. And now we have these psalms that we can look at concerning these imprecatory psalms. Now, Psalm number 58, unahin natin ang first psalm here. Psalm number 58, we find these precious inspired words immediately under the number 58. To the chief musician, Altasheth, Miktam of David. Now, we know the chief musician, that is Asaph, and it could also be Ethan or Heman, but we have the passages in our study notes. 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1 to 6. So makikita natin yan doon. Anong ibig sabihin ng Altasheth? Altasheth means destroy not. And so it's either a poem or a musical title of a song or a tune, a military tune. And David is pleading for God's mercy that he would not be destroyed. And then a miktam. Anong ibig sabihin ng miktam? Well, miktam means meditation. Miktam means meditation or understanding. It's a psalm that we can derive great lessons from. And so we see that miktam of David. So we know that David wrote, composed these words and then gave it to Asaph to use in the worship of the tabernacle And then later, when David dies, it's the worship of the temple under King Solomon. All right? So Psalm number 58, the outline, tingnan natin yung outline, makikita natin yung parallels. Again, Hebrew poetry is parallels. They don't rhyme. In English, the words rhyme. Yung poetry ng English, yung rhyme niya nasa salita. Pero yung poetry ng Hebrew, yung rhyme niya ay nasa kada line. Hindi siya salita. Hindi rhyme ng salita, kundi rhyme ng pag-iisip. And so the rhyme of Hebrew poetry is a rhyme not of words, but a rhyme of thought. And so we find that verses 1 and 2 rhymes or parallels verse 11. And verses 3 and 5 rhymes with verse 10. And the heart of the psalm is verses 6 to 9. So kung makikita natin ang contents ng outline, if you want to see the contents of the outline, you find concern for justice, verses 1 and 2, matches the affirmation of justice, verse 11. The lies of the wicked parallel the joy of the righteous, verse 10, 3 and 5 dito. And the prayer for justice is the heart of Psalm 58. The prayer for justice. Again, David is asking God for justice. Verse 8 says, as a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. So David was praying for justice, that his enemies would be defeated. Should we pray for our enemies to be defeated? Well, I don't know about our person. We should want our personal enemies to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ to be spared from judgment. So there's a difference in Christian thought. However, we should pray that God would destroy his enemies. And everyone who opposes the Lord will be destroyed. And we can trust in the Lord for that. So the devil will be destroyed someday, sin will be destroyed someday, death will be destroyed someday, and everyone who stands against the Lord, you don't want to be one of those people. You want to repent and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before it's too late. So anyway, let's look at Psalm 58, these words, these precious words. Let's go back to the beginning here. Psalm 58, to the chief musician, Altasith Miktam of David, do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? So David is addressing the congregation of Israel and also Israel's enemies. He's basically saying, do ye judge uprightly, ye sons of men? He's castigating the congregation of Israel and the leaders of Israel, because the leaders were doing wrong. The leaders were doing wrong. They should have done justice. They should have done right. But instead of doing right, they are doing wrong. So leaders, they may be popular, but do they do justice? That's the question. And if they don't do justice, This is what David has done. Verse number 2, yea, in heart ye work wickedness, ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. Did you see the connection between the heart and the hand? You see that? The heart and the hand. If you have wickedness in your heart, you will do violence with your hand. And so how important it is to guard the heart. Very important, because out of the heart comes action. Verse number 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. So David likens the wickedness, the sinfulness of these terrible rulers. They've been sinning since the day they were born. This is talking about human nature.
Ganito ang kasarian ng tao. Mula pa sa pagkasilang natin, makasalanang tao na ho tayo. Noon pa na isinilang tayo. Hindi tayo naging makasalanan dahil lumaki tayo tapos pumili tayo na gumawa ng mali. No, ang turo ng Bible mula pa sa simula nung isinilang tayo, nandun na, likas na sa ating sarili ang gumawa ng kamalian. Wickedness and sin is inborn. Right? So, this is a biblical perspective on human condition. And so, if we don't have salvation through Jesus, sin takes over and rules and reigns instead of the Lord ruling and reigning in our heart, you see. And so that's why it's important to call men, all men everywhere, to repent and ask the Lord to become Savior so that Jesus rules and reigns instead of sin. And so goes on, verse number 6, break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out their great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually when he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows. Let them be cut in pieces. And so David is praying that God would break the teeth, these wicked rulers. Plan evil plots and plan and they're corrupt leaders, and David is saying, "Break them, O Lord." So we can pray these kind of prayers. You know, if you're under a corrupt leader, you can ask God for justice, and you can ask God for deliverance, and you can ask God to break their teeth, to destroy their mechanisms. God will answer prayers there. Verse number 8 is the heart. As snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Let me tell you something. The ultimate end of the enemies of God is destruction. It's not going to go well for those who are the enemies of God. So nakakaawa ho ang huling wakas ng mga kalaban o kaaway ng Diyos. Dapat pag-pray natin ang hustisya ng Diyos, you know. When are we gonna see justice on earth? We will not see justice on earth until Jesus rules and reigns. Okay? Wala hong hustisya, tunay na hustisya sa mundong ito, maliban lang sa muling pagbabalik ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Alright, so, but we can trust in the Lord. Verse number 9, before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous, verse 10, shall rejoice when he seeth vengeance. So kailan daw magre-rejoice yung mga righteous, yung mga gumagawa ng tama, pagdating ng hatol ng Diyos sa mga gumagawa ng mali. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So, taking us all the way past the tribulation period, all the way before the millennial kingdom is the battle of Armageddon, when Jesus crushes his enemies with his feet and crushing them like grapes. His feet in the blood of the wicked. Verse 11, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Do you understand that? There is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. You know, God is looking for righteousness. God is willing to reward the righteous, and he will bless those who are right. You need to remember that. Christian, especially the born-again Christian, why should we do service to the Lord? Why should we worship the Lord? Why should we do right in a world that doesn't do right? Why should we continue to do the right thing? Well, because it says in the Bible, there is a reward for the righteous. God will bless and God will reward those who do the right thing. We should never be discouraged. We should consistently always be doing the right thing. For he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Here's another name or title or aspect of God. He is a judge. Do you think God is a just judge or a corrupt judge? We have a lot of corrupt judges and world leaders, but not God. God is a just God, and he will bring justice. And so we want to continually do the right thing. Do the right thing. So we have Psalm 58, imprecatory psalm on wicked judges and wicked rulers. Okay. So Psalm number 59. Psalm number 59. Punta tayo sa Psalm 59. Let's look at these words. Let's see here. Let me, before I finish 58, let me look at my notes again. Okay. Remember, vengeance belongs only to God. All right, Psalm 59, these precious inspired words, again, it's a heading, to the chief musician. Again, who's the chief musician? Asaph. And we have that those passages in our study notes. Tapos sabi, Altashith, Altashith. What is Altashith? That means destroy not. It could be a tune, a musical tune. Asking God for mercy. Lord, destroy me not. You know. Miktam of David. Again, Miktam means understanding or meditation or things that we should be thinking about. Of David, meaning to say David wrote this and gave it to Asaph. Now here's a historical portion. It says, when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him. So again, David was going after, Saul was going after David and wanted to kill him. So the historical background of Psalm 59, you will find it in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 11 to 18. We won't read it now. Hindi natin bubuksan yung 1 Samuel. We won't go to 1 Samuel, but that's why these inspired headings are so important, because it tells us where this psalm belongs. We don't look at the Bible and read the Bible and find something nice, you know, with our Western mind or with our cultural background. The Bible has its own background, and it's our responsibility when we read the Bible to find out what is the background of the Bible, what is the background of the context of the scriptures. So, and it tells us right here, when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him, to kill David. So where in the history books do we find Saul sending people to his house to kill him? Oh, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 19. Verse number 11 to 18. 1 Samuel 19, verses 11 to 18. So if you read 1 Samuel 19, you will see that Saul sent people to kill David. And so Psalm 59, now we have an understanding of the historical background to the psalm. And we're not pulling these verses out of nowhere, just imagining them to be precious moments and nice verses to think about. No, these are historical contexts here. David was being hounded by Saul very early. And by the way, at this time in 1 Samuel 19, David hardly has any army. He's just beginning. He doesn't even have an army. He's just being hounded by this king, Saul. So, deliver me from mine enemies, he prays to the Lord. Oh my God. Notice the personal relationship that David had with God. I hope you have a personal relationship with God. I hope you call God, my God, oh my God, when you pray. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, you need to get saved. You need to get born again by turning from sin, repenting of sin, and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you have a personal walk with the Lord? You need that. You need that. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from the bloody men. You see, David was asking God to help him. David had no, he couldn't turn to his army. He didn't have an army at this time, but he could turn to the Lord. And he says here, deliver me from the workers of iniquity, save me from the bloody men, for lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, this is important, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. David was in trouble, not for his transgression. You gotta understand this. When a believer sins against God, God judges the believer. But if you're going through trouble, not because of your transgression or not because of your sin, then it's a testing time from the Lord. And you should be able to say this as a believer. Lord, I've examined my heart. I've examined my life. I'm not in sin, Lord. I'm not in sin. And so I'm asking you to help me. You should be able to say that as a believer, as a Christian. I'm going through testings and trials not because of my transgression. So not all the time, not every problem, not every testing or trial is a result of God's judgment. Now there is that, but not in David's life. What did David do that was sinful and wrong in 1 Samuel 19, okay? We know that he sins great sin later, but here in 1 Samuel 19, he didn't do anything sinful. He didn't do anything wrong. And yet he was going through testings and trials. And so I hope, dear Christian, that you can say, Lord, I'm going through trouble, but not because of my sin. And I examine my heart and I know I'm right with you. You should be able to say that. Now notice the name, O Lord, capital L-O-R-D, capital. Yung O Lord, that means Jehovah. That is the word Jehovah. The name Jehovah is the most personal name of God. Lord is the most personal name of God. And it means two things. Number one, it means that he is the everlasting, eternally existing God, and that he keeps his covenant promises. God always keeps his promises. He's a faithful God. So he's an eternal God, self-existing, doesn't need anything to exist. And he's also a faithful God, a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God. That's who Jehovah is. All right, verse number four, they run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold, thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah. And he pauses there. So notice David addresses God as, O Lord God of hosts. Well, he's going to need the God of hosts to defend him, because he's got all these bloody men after him. The Lord God of hosts is referring to how God is in charge of the angels, the army of the angels of the Lord. There's also reference in the scriptures to the host of the locusts. He's also in charge of the insects. And God could deal with a man in judgment through pestilence and insects, even viruses. That's under God's control. And he says, the God of Israel. We've been going through the book of Psalms, and I'm also cataloging every name of God in the book of Psalms as we're studying through. And I have a list, and I think I'm about on number 50 or 55, maybe even 60, on the names of God in the book of Psalms. So if you are interested in that, just email me or messenger me, and I'll be happy to send you a list of the names of God in the book of Psalms until Psalm number 59. And so we have that there. All right, verse number 6, they return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go around about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips, for who, say they, doth hear? Be thou, O Lord, but thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. So the Lord God, Jehovah God, will have his will and way. We just need to trust in him and call upon him. Verse 9, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. God of my mercy shall prevent me. Yung ibig sabihin ng prevent, hindi yung titigilan siya. Yung prevent dyan, ang ibig sabihin ng prevent, bago mangyari, nandun na ang Diyos. To be there early, to take care of him, to show up before his problems come. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. Wow, what a precious, precious promise and principle we have in verse number 9. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. So David, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your military power? Are you trusting in your skills and your talents and your ability? Is David trusting in his own strength? I mean, David, man, took down the giant. Took down the lion, took down the bear. David, just a very strong youth. Is he trusting in his youth, his youthfulness? No, David is trusting in Jehovah God, the God of Israel. And he is his defender. Verse number 10, God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy... by thy power, bring them down, O Lord, our shield. There's that God is a defender. And these are military terms. As David is a man of war, he does understand these things, although he's young. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. Oh my, let them be taken in their pride. Let me tell you something about pride. God has nothing good to say about pride. So anybody who's interested in pride, your enemy is God, okay? All that, this month, June, they say this is Pride Month. Boy, I tell you, pride is an abomination before the Lord. And you could see how all these people that are parading for pride, you are sinning against Jehovah God, and that is an abomination before the Lord. And you will, if you don't repent, God will remove you. And you got to read this psalm, these two psalms, to see how God will deal with pride. So get away from pride. Stay away from pride. There's nothing good in the Bible about pride at all. All right, so, well, let's see. For cursing and lying, which they speak. Isn't that characteristic of them? Yeah, it is. The Bible pegs them right on. Consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. Let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Selah. And again, so that's the second refrain in Psalm 59. And at evening, let them return, let them make a noise like a dog and go around about the city, let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. Verse 16, but I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense, and the God of my mercy. Again, a lot of names and titles about this, talking about who God is and what's he like. Well, He's a powerful God in verse 16. He's a merciful God. He's a God of refuge and defense. He is a God of strength. He is our strength in verse 17. And again, a defense and a God of mercy. You see, all these things, David had a personal relationship with God and knew that God was who he is, a God of mercy and strength and defense and refuge and power. Prayer is so important for the Christian. And when God responds in prayer, we rejoice. So you want your joy and fullness of joy and perfect fellowship with the Lord? It begins with prayer. And pray. Here David brings to God his prayer requests for the curse of his enemies. And again, victory can be realized over our outward enemies. Nobody challenges God and expects to win. And we have to always remember that. We go to God for strength, for mercy, for power, for our defense. And thank God, through Jesus Christ, God is our shield. And God could be our judge or he could be our advocate. And Jesus makes the difference. So if you know the Lord is your Savior, God is your advocate. But if you're not in Christ, you don't know the Lord Jesus, you have not repented, God is your enemy. Oh my, and he will judge and you will be destroyed. The imprecatory Psalms here talks about these things. And so we end our lesson here. I appreciate those that are watching us. Let's bow for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these two psalms and how we look to you for our strength and our power and our mercy and our shield, and how we know that we're dealing with corruption, Lord, with wickedness, Lord. And Father, we don't have any answers to that. We can't defend ourselves, Lord. We are powerless without you. We confess, Lord, that we're sinful people. And we just ask that you would cleanse us, Lord. And then we depend upon you, Father, for deliverance. And we know that we have confidence, God, because you are a faithful God. And you will not forget your loving kindness and your tender mercies because of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that our enemies would get saved before it's too late. And we'd love and ask that you, love you, Lord, and ask that you bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.